Now, as you open your hearts to receive the Word of God, let's welcome our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
Good morning. This is the Word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. Amen. I'm continuing the series today entitled, Jesus Is. Now, throughout the scriptures, Old and New Testament, Jesus is a whole bunch of different things. But I picked out seven very important titles, if you will, of who Jesus is. And 6 weeks ago, I began teaching you week to week about who Jesus is. Now, the importance of this is because of who Jesus is and what Jesus did, it gives you certain things. It does certain things in your life and allows you to have certain things and be certain things because of who Jesus is. Amen? So I began to talk about that. Week number one, I talked about Jesus is the author of our faith. He's the one who wrote the script, right? We so often in modern Christianity, people want to live their Christian life like they want to. Not concerned about what the Bible says or how the Bible kind of prescribes we walk with God. We just kind of do it this is modern Christianity, kind of do it my own way. I'm going to do it like I want to. And you know, the beauty of a relationship with God is you can, but you can't expect to have everything that Jesus has said in his word, has authored that you can have or that you can be or that you can do doing it your way. See, when we do it his way is when we have the benefits of all those things. So we have to do it the way the author wrote it. And I told you that first week, which has kind of led us to this baptism today and these 20, almost 30 people being baptized today, because he said in the beginning, when Peter preaches the day of Pentecost and the people say, what shall we do? In other words, I want to do it your way, Jesus. I'm not doing it my way. And Peter gives these very important words in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Imagine that baptism, 3,000 people. All right, line them up, boys. 3,000 people that day. And so, repent and be baptized. Week number two, I talked about Jesus as the perfecter or the finisher of our faith. On the cross, Jesus spoke what I believe are the three most important words Jesus ever spoke. He spoke a lot of important words, but these three are just foundational, monumental, life-changing. It is finished. At the culmination of his walk on the earth in human form, the God in the flesh said, it is finished. I paid the price. It is done. Everything I came to do, I accomplished. He's looking at the Father, and he's saying, Father, I did it the way you prescribed it. I did it the way you asked me to do it, and the job is now finished. He's looking at you. He's looking at me, and he's saying to you and I, hey, everything that you strive for, everything that you desire, it's finished, and you don't have to strive for it. You don't have to try for it. I did it all for you. It's finished. Week number three, he's the advocate. Week number four, he's our authority. Week five, he's the bread of life. And today, he's our good shepherd. Would you turn with me to John chapter 10? We're going to study the first 11 verses of John chapter 10. Most of this, if you have a red letter Bible, is in red because Jesus is the one speaking here. And he says in John 10:1, very truly I tell you, Pharisees. Now, let me stop there for a minute and just point something very important out. Pharisees. Who's he talking to? He's talking to these religious people. These people who think they had a relationship with God figured out based on their religion, based on their Jewish faith. We've been to all the schools. We have all the degrees. We dotted all the I's. We've crossed all the T's. We know it all. You can't tell us anything. And he says to them, I tell you, you religious people, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep, and all who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to kill and to steal and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full," or have it more abundantly, as some versions of the Bible describe it. And in verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The shepherd, the good shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep." The good shepherd. As I've studied these 11 passages over the last really several months and really studied them hard over this past week, the good shepherd does certain things for us, the sheep. The first thing I want to get right to this morning is the good shepherd affords us access. Now, he said in verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. In verse 7, he said, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." Jesus opened the gate for us to enter in to a relationship with God. He opened the gate because he is the gate. When Jesus died on the cross, it says at the moment that Jesus gave up his spirit, it says that the veil of the temple. So let me describe this to you for a moment. So in the old covenant or in the Old Testament tabernacle plan, there was the area called the holy place. And in the holy place were certain pieces of furniture that were there to prepare the worshiper for going into the most holy place. Now remember, only the high priest could enter the most holy place. There were several, all the priests could enter the holy place. They could all enter into the outer court, but in that one special place, into the place where the high priest would go and meet with God at the mercy seat, at the tabernacle, at the Ark of the Covenant. And in that place, the presence of God would dwell between the cherubim, between the two angels that face one another, and God's presence sat there on the mercy seat, and the priest would go in and have a conversation with God. Can you imagine the scene? But here's the beauty of that. There was a curtain, a massive curtain, about 18 feet tall and very thick, made by men, but according to God's plan. And it says, at the time that Jesus gave up his spirit, the veil that separated the holy from the most holy, was torn in two, and it was torn from top to bottom, signifying that it was God himself who tore the veil and opened the access to us to enter in. No longer would it just be this certain part of the priesthood that could go in and have a conversation with God face to face, but that all people who accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives could enter in, because Jesus affords us access. It's not hard to have a relationship with God. As a matter of fact, some people think it's too easy, which is why we have religion. Religion makes it too easy. You have to jump through more hoops. I don't think you've jumped through enough hoops to walk with Jesus. I think the church has got to get away from that idea and that mindset, and we have to get to the place where we tell people, like I'm telling you today, folks, that it's easy to follow Jesus. All you have to do is accept him, trust him, believe in your heart that he is who he says he is, and that you trust him for your salvation, and you're saved. It's easy to have a relationship with Jesus. He affords us access. The second thing that he does in those passages I read to you is he leads us. In John 10:3, it says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." He calls his own sheep by name. I want you to listen to me this morning. If the names that you're hearing are names like failure, loser, addict, good for nothing, no good, no future, no hope, that's not God, and that's not God speaking to you. He calls his own sheep by name. You know what kind of names he calls you? Saved, sons, daughtered, redeemed, loved, immensely loved. He calls you highly favored. He doesn't call you those things. You've been delivered from those things. He calls you so he can lead you. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." He says, in verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He takes care of you and quiets your spirit. He goes before you so that everything you encounter, I want you to know, has already gone through him." Nothing you encounter caught God by surprise. Don't let it catch you by surprise. I want you to know everything that you're going through, God already knew you were going to go through, and he's going to go through it with you. He's preparing your way. He's going before you. He's leading you like he did the children of Israel in the desert. He went before them as a cloud by day and as a pillar of fire at night. He's going before you, yes, not in a cloud or in a pillar of fire, but instead right inside of you as the advocate. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 37, verse 23, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Are you leading or is God leading?" If you lead, then you know what you get? You get wherever it is that you can provide. You can go wherever it is that your little heart desires to take you. But if God leads, he leads you to green pastures, and he leads you to quiet waters, and he restores your soul. The psalmist said, "When God leads me, I lack nothing." He leads us. Number three, he saves us. John 10, verse 9 says, "I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. They'll come in and they'll go out and find pasture." Here in verse 9, we see God's plan of salvation for all mankind. The good shepherd, Jesus, the good shepherd, right? He says, "Whoever enters through me will be saved." We're told throughout the New Testament that it is Jesus is the only way to salvation. Now listen to me, folks. There's a world out there that will tell you there are lots of ways to heaven. It's not true. Oprah said there are lots of ways to heaven. I don't care what Oprah said. Romans 5:8 says this, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Verse 9 says, "Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath?" Here it is, through him. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 10, verse 9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame." And in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, when he was asked by Thomas, "Well, how can we know the way? We don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And I love what Jesus says. He answers poor doubting Thomas, "I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one," say no one.
No one.
That means no one, "comes to the Father." No one goes to heaven by any other means except through a relationship with Jesus Christ, period. Amen. Jesus is the only way, and it's through the relationship with Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our Savior, and the Savior of the whole world that we're saved. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the whole world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever," say whoever, That means the whole world can be saved. Whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him can be saved, because his desire was to come and seek and save all who are lost in sin. The good shepherd saves us. Number four, the good shepherd provides for us. Look at verse 9 of chapter 10. He said, I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. And in verse 10, he said, the thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, or have it more abundantly. Do you know that the sheep's greatest joy is a new green pasture? Ooh, look, we're in a new pasture today. Look how green and lush and beautiful it is. That means I'm hungry. It's time to eat, boys. A good shepherd will lead you from green pasture to green pasture, because he knows what you need. He knows everything you need. The green pasture means that it's lush and it's good for food. Do you know that Jesus is our provision? Jesus is our, he's not your provider, he's your provision. Being your provider means that he could provide, or he might provide, but because he's your provision means he already did. I told you in Psalm 23, verse 1, the psalmist wrote, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Listen, I remember as a kid lying down in grass. Anybody, when you were a kid, you used to love the grass? I used to love the grass, the green grass in the summertime, and I would lay in the grass and just enjoy the grass. And then my dad made me cut the grass. I didn't like the grass so much after that. The grass took on a whole nother meaning after I had to take care of the grass. But the beauty of the good shepherd is he leads us to these green pastures, and they're pastures we don't have to take care of. We just have to eat from. I'm thankful that the good shepherd didn't ask me to tend to the field. He just asked me to enjoy the field. Come on, son. Come on, daughter. Come into the field and eat all you want. Have all you want. You know why? Because I own it all. And whatever I have is all yours. What a good pastor. What a good shepherd we have, right? See, he's prepared them. He's fertilized them. He has got them ready for you. And the good shepherd, I want you to understand, the good shepherd has all that you need. All that you ever desired, the good shepherd owns. The Bible says that the good shepherd owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The cattle on 1,000 hills. If you need something, all you have to do is ask. Ask your good shepherd. He provides for us. And lastly, the good shepherd lays down his life for us. John 10, verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd, Jesus said, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This past week, we're having our staff meeting, and I asked the staff, hey, let's talk about, it's Thanksgiving week, let's talk about the things that we're thankful for. And so, you know, people began to go around and talk about, you know, the family and this and that. And I couldn't get my focus off of the cross. And I just began to just sit there and think about the cross, I was reminded again about the goodness of God, the good shepherd who hung on the cross, and he hung there for me. He hung there for you too. And I want you to wrap your head around this idea, because so often we think, well, maybe he hung there for somebody else. Maybe somebody who was more worthy than I am. And somebody who maybe deserved for Jesus to die for them, but not me. If you were the only human being on the planet, Jesus died for you. And when he hung on the cross, he saw your face. Not mine. Oh, he saw mine too. But he was thinking about you, and 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 he was thinking about me. He was thinking about all of us, and not one of us escaped his memory at that moment in time. He thought about us as the reason he went to the cross. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Listen, in the old covenant, every year they would have to bring bulls and goats to be slaughtered, to spill their blood, to make atonement or cover the sins of people. And here our good shepherd, the perfect sacrifice, laid down his life once and for all so that we could all experience the goodness of God each and every single day, not wondering, not worrying, am I okay with God or not? Did something I do today mess me up again? I want you to know that your mess ups can't mess you up that much. No longer would the blood of bulls and goats be sufficient to make a proper sacrifice. Those sacrifices had to be repeated year after year. Not so with our shepherd. His sacrifice was so sufficient, so perfect, so on time that not another sacrifice would ever have to be made for the sin of the whole world. That includes yours. I need you to understand this truth. The only person on the planet, if you were it, Jesus still would have gone to the cross for you. I had to say it again because I want you to get it. I don't want you to leave here and miss it. If you don't get anything else that I say today, get that. He laid down his life for you. Say this with me. Say, Jesus died for me. That's right. That gives you great value in the eyes of God. Do you know that God the Father looks down and he finds great value in you? So much so that he describes you in his word as the apple of his eye. That's pretty special. He calls you chosen. He calls you protected. He calls you loved. He calls you provided for. And he calls you led. He leads. You see, Jesus didn't lay down his life to start a religious movement. Jesus laid down his life to start a relationship movement. We got to get away from religious movement and start walking toward a relationship movement. It's completely different. The Good Shepherd saves us. Would you stand with me? So what does he do? The Good Shepherd affords us access. He leads us, saves us, provides for us, and he lays down his life for us. Today, if you are in need of the services of the Good Shepherd, and you maybe just needed the reminder today that he's given you access, he's afforded you complete access, that he's the one who wants to lead you and save you and provide for you, and he has laid down his life for you. If you needed that reminder today and you say, I got to go out of here with that. I got to leave here with that today because there's a lot of things telling me something else. I want to invite you to the altar today and I want to pray for you and I want to remind you by prayer. Let's settle what God has done in your heart this morning. Don't hesitate. Get out of your seat and come now. Come on. He's a good shepherd, right? I couldn't hear you. Is he a good shepherd? He's the best shepherd. How about that? He's not a good shepherd. He's the best shepherd. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, God, just reminded of the goodness of our shepherd, the shepherd of our souls, the one who laid down his life for us. And God, today we're reminded that you are our provider and you lead us and you have given us access and you save us. And God, for those things we are forever indebted and thankful. And God, I know that there's nothing on this earth that we could say or do that would be sufficient as a thank you, but here we are, God, offering ourselves here at the altar today as living sacrifices. Your word says that when we do that, it's holy and acceptable to you, and it is a spiritual act of worship. So God, we are declaring today that we are living to worship you with our lives and through our lives as we live for you each and every day. My prayer as the pastor of New Beginnings, God, is that you would fill and remind each person in the hearing of my voice, both those in the room and those watching online, God, that they are chosen and loved beyond measure, and that your desire is to walk with them the rest of their lives. We give you all the praise today because you're worthy. We say thank you, Jesus, that you laid down your life for us. And now we go full, we go ready, we go excited to share those things with others. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.